The Skype server's screwed up.
Okay.
Again, if you're a character actor, you'll have 5 incredibly great years. that guy was also, I found out when I was reading like the cast list a couple days ago, he was also the doorman in Crocodile Dundee.
Wow.
He was one of those faces that, I'm sure that there must have been some sort of made-for-TV Allen Ginsberg biopic for which he was hired, because he had that sort of...
I think White Glove guy was at one of the heavies in Romancing the Stone, wasn't he? Because he got a lot of work, too, as the kind of, like, Middle Eastern-looking mustachioed beret guy. We should look up his movie history.
Does he have a name in the credits?
He's White Glove guy. I don't know.
Oh, I should say, also, General Berenger's assistant, his aide that's with him everywhere, is also the manager of the hotel in Ghostbusters that calls them at the beginning and it says, $5,000? Well, I won't pay it. That guy, he's the same guy.
Is the senator person, like, there was the person there, was that supposed to be the senator or his aide? Because he looked like he was 12. You know, like where the guy comes and Dabney Coleman makes his argument and the general makes his argument and he says, I think I'm going to go with Dabney Coleman. That guy, was he supposed to be the senator or representing the senator?
I don't know.
I think he was aide. Yeah, I think he's like an assistant.
He was way too young. Yeah. It's going to be, this is the problem with IMDb. I don't know White Glove guy's name and there's no way I'm going to recognize his headshot, even if he has one from like whatever age he is now.
Oh, no way.
Commander, technician, deputy, this is not helping.
No.
I just love how the movie is filled with these, hey, it's that guy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Leo, I didn't know Leo was in this movie because I didn't know who Leo McGarry was. And the scene opens, and it's like Spencer. It's freaking Leo McGarry with someone spraying water on his face to make him look like he sweats like no human has ever sweated before.
Did you hear Stephen Tobolowsky's explanation of if you don't have one of the leading roles in a movie, here's how to tell how big your part is by how you're credited. It's like the ideal is your character should have a first name and a last name. Second best is for your character to have just a first name. Third best is for you to be listed in the credits as just the profession, street sweeper. And worst on the list is a profession and then a number. Number two.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm looking at IMDb, and it says rest of cast, William H. Macy, uncredited.
Yeah, I don't.
Now I have to watch it again.
That's a big room.
Those are the best credits. I love like searching IMDb for like parentheses uncredited, because then you find woman in background of restaurant scene uncredited, and then you see someone who has the IMDb Pro account, and so they have the headshot on there because oh my god, this is their best moment ever in life. and they're hoping that this background scene in the Pelican Brief is really going to lead to bigger things.
Who is Michael Madsen in this movie? IMDb says Michael Madsen is in it, too.
Could be anybody. Yeah. Michael Madsen is a chameleon.
He is.
Remember that his face was less puffy then. So you got to just scale it down in your mind.
He's in the scene with the ear getting cut off, right?
Yep.
That's the problem with these older movies, that all the actors had skinny faces and skinny bodies.
Yeah.
You don't recognize them. And no speaking parts.
That's what I looked like in the 80s, too.
Yeah.
Sigh.
No, mentioning the Pelican Brief, I wasn't going to bring this up earlier, but one of my favorite bad movie sound moments was in The Firm. We went to see that in the theater, and there's a scene where he goes to print out all the information from the firm to prove that they're doing stuff, and you see the screen, and it's a Mac, and he's printing on a laser writer. It says very clearly, laser writer.
Yeah.
And he hits print, and it goes,
dot matrix. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't believe it if you didn't hear the sound.
It's how else does it print things on paper?
According to Google Images, Michael Madsen is the other nuclear launch guy.
No. Wow. Well, he's listed right next to John Spencer, so that makes sense.
He looks very, very different.
Wow, that I would not have called that. Not more hair, too. It's just because his head was so much smaller that the hair seemed bigger in comparison. it's like putting a toupee on a balloon and then blowing it up.
It's totally him too. It totally is him. That's crazy.
And get this, if you're talking about unified like movie world, so Michael Madsen was also played a role on two episodes of St. Elsewhere. So he is technically part of the dream of Snow Globeverse, yep, along with Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, and everybody else on TV.
Why was there no space between war and games?
Yeah, it was intercapping. It was really big in the 80s. The Mac really hit just at the right time for intercapping. 1984, a year later. Then everything was intercapped.
Well, it was mostly because like the people who were in charge of that movie, they were just absolute design freaks. And they knew that if they left the letter spacing to the marquee people, they'd just screw up the kerning between the W and the S and the G. So better make it one word.
You can't make the letters that tall at the width of a poster.
Speaking of Apple in the 80s, I go back and look at some of those Apple ads with the Apple Garamond typeface, and the kerning is just crazy. Like, the letters are on top of each other. I don't know how did I even look at that in the 80s? I used to think it looked fancy. Now I look at it, I'm like, what's going on? Your letters, they're crossing over each other. They got to you, man.
They took a good right brain, and Apple got to you. They turned you into a frickin' design wonk. I don't care that this phone is only a 3G phone. Look at the chamfering on that case body.
You've seen my phone, Andy, so you know that's not true. But
okay,
you have to go look at those apps. I swear, don't have to be a design guru. Go Google open up an old copy of Macworld from the 80s and flip through some of the Apple ads. And you're like, what were they thinking?
That's the when I realized I didn't like the typeface that my microwave oven uses. It was just like, okay, something is fundamentally broken in me.
I've got an Apple cup on my desk right here.
We've ruined you.
Ages ago, and the A in Apple is just totally absorbed into the P that's next to it. Like they're not just touching, they're overlapping. And this is an official Apple product.
I want them to bring back like not the Newton under the Apple tree logo, but the second one, those thick blocky letters and with the multicolored logo. That was a pretty sweet logo.
Oh, I'm gonna hang up now because this is I'm not gonna take more.
Is it too late for you?
It's too late for me. I gotta go to bed.
Man,
all right.
I'm tired.
California people have to.
I still have about eight rolls of microfiche I still got to get to because, yep, God damn it, I'm going to break into Apple Cupertino Research Group right now. I want Angry Birds 7 now. Damn it,
Protovision. I have you now.
We never got the. And did you know I didn't even pick that up the first time I saw the movie when I was a kid? Only this time watching and go, I didn't realize there were Star Wars references in this movie.
Do you think that's a Star Wars reference?
It is a Star Wars reference.
From the Vader in the trench.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I have you now.
I'm just sitting here looking at John Badham's filmography since then, and just kind of watching it disintegrate from like Saturday Night Fever, and he directed an episode of Supernatural this year.
Wow,
that's adorable.
That's amazing.
He directed a whole bunch of episodes of Psych.
Yeah.
Hey, Psych's enjoyable.
Oh, it's cute. Yeah, but
it is not the worthy successor to War Games.
No. No. He directed an episode of Men in Treatment.
So Saturday Night Fever, War Games, Short Circuit, Stakeout.
Another Stakeout.
Bird on a Wire.
The only thing I remember about that movie is Mel Gibson saying he used a plane sander to remove his tattoo. Just gave me nightmares.
And then after about 2000, it was all TV for John Badham.
And well, so he directed the American remake of La Femme Nikita, and he's directed episodes of the TV remake of La Femme Nikita. That's weird.
Okay. And a couple episodes of Heroes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, he's going to have more work soon.
Yeah, maybe so. All right. I'm hanging up.
Night, guys.
It's late here in California. Well. Good morning to those of you in the East Coast. And I don't know what time it is in Indiana. It's like 7:38 in Indiana. I don't know.
Let me know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, my God, John. That is horrific.
You don't have to be a design wonk. Don't do that. Just, it's out of control. Look at the freaking Martin instrument.
Oh my god. That just hurts.
Okay, hang on. I'm looking at it now.
Design wonk.
It's the R's. The
okay,
R's.
Well,
that
was just a sucky ad.
Yeah, this is official Apple. Like, is that
back then? You think they could have afforded a 2-page ad at that juncture, John? Then you have a shorter memory than I think.
Actually, the kerning on the computer itself is pretty tight, where it says Macintosh Plus.
Yeah, that's true. But like, it doesn't look like someone spit the letters on the page.
I mean, look at the T in Ultimate. Oh my God!
Yeah. UL.
It turns into like a little teeny tiny U.
The STR section in instrument. Oh. Like, I don't know what they're making of.
Oh, God.
You know, the fact that we are complaining about this means that they won.
No, I was born this way.
No, see, I thought you were complaining about the actual logo. That you have to be. I have seen people complain about pre.
No,
there's nothing pre Jobs I've not seen people complain about design wise. And done this really pontificating 3,000-word blog post about, you see, it's this attention to detail that Apple lost sight of when Steve Jobs was no longer in control. And see, and if you look at 1998, I have a piece of official letterhead. You can see the grain of the paper. What else but Steve Jobs' personal touch?
I can see in this thing that, oh yeah, the Plus had a numeric keypad, but I didn't because I had a 128 motherboard upgraded to a Plus. No numeric keypad.
Oh yes. I have that right here. I have that with me now, in fact.
I was jealous of that numeric keypad. I would look in the ads and say, I technically have a Mac Plus, but not really. It's not even the cool new beige color that doesn't have as much brown in it.
Here you go, John.
That's the sound.
Oh, man.
Today I die.
Oh.
Go slow.
Same way Andy will probably know the Apple.
Go slow? Oh, dear.
How's that? How do you like that, Andy?
Oh, shift here. Shift key. Shift key.
Wow. Save the space bar till the end, Jason.
Oh, Jesus, God. You can just rock me to sleep tonight.
Now hold the handset to the left of the computer so I can hear the flyback transformer.
I was going to say, you used to be able to hear text coming up on the computer screen.
That's going to go bad real soon.
Because the bloom on the monitor would change.
Well, you can see the size of the screen changing, depending on how much stuff was lit
right,
up. The
right.
outer, the square that it lit up would change size.
That was the day.
This is going to be the greatest After Dark ever.
It's the old nerd roundup.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, remember when they broke out that keyboard? We're really excited. Whoa!
And then Apple Desktop Buzz. It wasn't really phone cord, but if you rewired the red and the black wires on that, you could make it work like a keyboard cable. Oh, boy, I took to the forum on GENI on that, and I got over 18 views over the course of a month with that tip. Got a free Mac Week mug out of it, I did.
Was that the actual pronunciation, GENI?
Yeah,
I
know it was capital G, capital E, but I never heard it pronounced GENI.
Well, there was no one to talk to, so no one knew how to pronounce anything.
Just it was Joe Straczynski sitting there by himself. On GE.
You couldn't because your phone line was being tied up with the service, the online service, so you couldn't tell anybody what you were connecting to.
I had a friend who ran a BBS.
It was a brilliant plan, worthy of a Romulan.
And he shut it down for a summer, and so I offered to take it over. And I had a second phone line installed in my house so I could run this BBS over the summer. And it ran the computer so hot that I put a World War II fan pointed at it. And the only thing I remember about that summer is not being able to sleep because of that goddamn fan.
One Crazy Summer was the movie based on your life.
Just standing there holding the fan over your head. Wait, wrong cue second.
Yeah,
those movies are all in the same universe, clearly.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
John Cusack movies.
Kickboxing. Sport of the future.
We already did that. We already did the Gross Point Blank, what do you call it?
I don't want to buy anything. Right. I don't want to sell anything, and I don't want to process anything.
Yeah,
I don't want to buy anything that's processed. I don't want to sell bought things.
Yep,
I'm just kind of into your daughter. So.
We should do that episode.
we do that. We can combine that with a gross point blank.
Yeah, let's do it now. Let's just start it right now.
Well, okay. So each of us will take a scene, and we'll just start reciting.
I've never actually seen. I've seen three scenes from that movie, and that's it.
What, gross point blank?
Oh, no, gross point blank. I've seen.
Oh, say anything. You haven't seen. Well, it's a Dan Aykroyd movie.
How can I not?
Thanks for the pen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll throw High Fidelity in there too. We'll do all the John Cusack.
Yeah,
heck yeah,
yeah.
So long as we don't have to do being John Malkovich
or Pushing 10.
Well, I mean, they're bad John Cusack.
Yeah, oh jeez, I just
Identity.
The Raven, the Paperboy.
Oh god,
that's a flop house special.
There
the
was
paperboy.
A Cusack movie
that was
straight
an excruciating
to video.
One.
About the number stations. Maybe that was what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I remember being interested in that because who's not interested in number stations? And I like John Cusack, but
I've been wanting to write a play about that for years. And then I saw that and went,
no, it's not. It's not good.
I don't know. I don't know if that would make for good theater.
I have a way.
But I have a way of counting. See, the man will be off stage. It'll be a Greek chorus. We'll get.
Yeah. You should be like inspired by Apple. What you do is you let these other people, these early people, create like a bad version of the Numbers movie, and then you realize what the pain points were in that movie, and then once the market is ready for it,
the entire
you say no 100 times, and then exactly.
There you go.
You swoop in and reap the rewards of having a competently put together theater.
And then claim that you innovated. When all you did was say, oh, if we change the watch band to something that doesn't pull people's arm hairs out, they'll probably buy more of them.
Welcome back to The Incomparable. Our topic tonight is John Cusack movies. We're not going to actually discuss them. John Siracusa is going to recite lines from Gross Point Blank. I'm going to recite lines from Say Anything.
I'm just going to
do Better
numbers.
Off Dead?
Sure. Whatever.
41.
Then who did
they
give
the
me?
The street value of this mountain.
But two. The Dalai Lama himself.
300.
Tretizov, long hair of the Lama, hits it right into a 10,000 foot crevasse. And he says, Gunga Gulunga. Gunga Gulunga. So we play 18. And then he stiffs me. And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, for the effort? And then he looks at me and he says, oh, there will be no money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice. I'm sorry, was that out loud?
We just assumed that's always your internal monologue.
Did you see the Obama statement on
it's easy to grin when your ship comes in?
No.
And you've got the stock market beat. For the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat. Okay,
wow.
Pookie,
you do a better Bill Cosby than Ted White.
Ted White.
A man has to have a goal to reach towards, or else what is life worth living?
Obama made the total consciousness joke in his statement on I'm tired.
I'm
Harold Ramis.
And Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Total consciousness. That's wacky. I'd never seen Caddyshack until Steve Letts talked about it in our
really?
One of our drafts, and then I had to go watch it. Yeah.
That seems statistically unlikely. I'm not mocking you for it. I'm just amazed that a movie that gets that much play has never been seen.
How do you get through college without seeing Caddyshack?
You were there, Greg. You tell me. I never saw it. No, never saw it. Never saw The Karate Kid until I saw it with Lex and Dan, though. So.
Yeah, I think that's worse. Although I've seen Caddyshack, but so long ago that all I can remember now are the scenes that everyone repeats, and the whole rest of the movie that connects it is nothing. Same thing with Stripes. I know I've seen Stripes.
I've seen Stripes a bunch of times, yeah.
But like, if you ask me to name anything Stripes, I can't, and it's just you have to start playing it, and then my mind will sync up, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, okay. I know what the next line's going to be. But I can't tell you two lines from now. But one line from now, I know what the next line
is
going to be.
Caddyshack is the movie where the protagonist, the kid, is totally absent from anything anybody ever remembers about the movie. Yep.
Noonan!
Yep.
Noonan!
That's what happens if you put Bill Murray in your movie.
Yeah. Wow. I still haven't seen National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh my god!
You should just watch everything that they watch on Not Playing.
I got them. I want to watch them with them though, so I gotta get them so I can listen to the.
Well, they already did Vacation. Well, they already did it. I know.
No it's
spoilers,
queued up.
But excellent cameo appearance by an Apple II computer.
All right.
So you've got that looking forward to, which is nice.
Welcome to Apples in Media.
I feel like you joke, but I didn't start watching Lost until I was channel surfing and I heard the boot up sound of an Apple II computer.
All right.
And
this is going to be a major plot point.
Can you hear
the loons?
Oh, man. Can you hear the loons? Control G. Control G, the bell symbol. I hear it.
I wonder if there are kids who were like 8 years old when Lost was on who still remember that whatever it was, 9-digit number. Because I certainly don't. But I'm sure there are kids who will have a hollow podcast 20 years from now who will be like, we can all recite the
4,
number.
8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Yeah, both of my kids know it because it's the answer in this app called the Impossible Quiz that is like stupid logic puzzles. And that's one of the answers. It's like, what is this number? So they know. And the other day, the 9-year-old comes running in. He's like, what's the Lost number again? I'm like, how do you even know what that is? What? Okay, whatever.
I'm looking forward to a generation of small kids saying, about 20, 30 years from now, saying, Grandpa, why do you have those numbers tattooed across your belly? Said, well, there was
it's
a time
a story
when
about the Holocaust. Grandpa had
a favorite TV show, and he was kind of stupid, and he had a cousin who had a tattoo gun, and he thought it'd be awesome. And it stopped being awesome about 3 weeks into it. But
stay
then
in school.
Grandpa was tattooed.
Of course, after all those years, the kerning on the numbers is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Depends on where you get the tattoo.
Get it on your forehead. At least the amount of slack.
But get it backwards so you can see it in the mirror.
What you want to get is a tattoo on your head, just in case you're ever knocked unconscious and you're in surgery. You want to put not this one, so they don't amputate that head.
I've lost my short-term memory.
Yeah. That's a movie. There's a movie about that.
What? Who are you? Where am I?
You're being chased. No, I'm chasing someone.
You're Joey Pants.
It's the sport of the future.
I keep hearing the Sonny and Cher song.
Do they have a song about kickboxing?
I gave her
the
my heart.
The goes on.
She gave me a pen.
I was waiting for Andy to chime in with his Cher impression, so he must really be tired now.
No, I don't. I don't like to go for the low-hanging fruit.
Well, I'd like to thank my guests who joined me for this After Dark.
Okay, I do like the low-hanging fruit because it's easy to get and it's usually ripe. That's why it's hanging very, very low. But in this case, I didn't feel as though it was inappropriate to whip out a Cher impression.
David Lore, thanks for being here in the After Dark.
Now, if somebody wants to set me up,
you can get arrested for whipping out a Cher impression.
This is like the Community episode with the flashbacks to episodes that never happened. This will be an After Dark all by itself.
Yep. John Siracusa, thanks for being on the After Dark.
I don't have a second goodbye for the After Dark.
Well, that's fine.
You just need to hang up so
I like
can go
that.
To sleep.
I like that. Greg Noss, thanks for being on the After Dark.
I'm very tired.
And classic reference, callback to earlier where you were also very tired. And Andy Iannacco, thank you for filling the After Dark with many funny things.
Hashtag Burger King Twitter.
Hey, I got to go text my wife that I love her. Hang on.
Nerd.
Good night, everybody. Remember
wife
us as you picture us now at the service, at the funeral.
Why don't you go text your wife if you love her so much?
I think.
Mr. Husband.
Oh. Good night.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
God bless.